This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, episode 49 for the week of January 13th, 2020. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Brian Fitzgerald.
And I'm Jason Keyes. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make LPS the amazing place that it is. Today, we'll listen to an interview with Marco Pedroza, the principal at Scott Middle School. Marco talks about his non-traditional path to the principal's office at Lincoln's largest middle school. He'll also answer one of the most confounding questions of our time. Would he pick super strength or the power to be invisible? But first, let's see what's making news on LPS.org. First, the lead item on our homepage is a story called One Hour at Dawes. And it's actually much more than a story. Brian, I know we both enjoyed working on this. It's a multimedia package that chronicles 1 hour spent visiting three classrooms at Dawes Middle School. It's really meant to highlight the amazing teaching and learning that occurs not only at Dawes, but in schools throughout LPS. We did something similar earlier in the school year at Meadow Lane Elementary, but thanks to your web design and the video that was shot by Brianna Campbell, the Dawes package really came together nicely.
It was a really fun project to do. It's fun when you pull up that page that you feel like you're just kind of walking through the hallways, getting a window into what's going on in those classrooms. A fun project.
We're going to keep doing this sort of thing in schools throughout the city, and we're already planning on visiting Northeast High School for 1 hour in the next month or so. Another story, back from before winter break, if you missed it, a group of special education students at Northeast High School started their own business, selling hand-delivered snacks to staff members. Students in Tamara Covers' home living skills class thought of the idea to open the snack shop. They pitched the idea to her, then created a PowerPoint presentation for a meeting with school administrators. They gave their stamp of approval in November, and students started taking orders and delivering snacks shortly thereafter. It was very popular, and Cover plans on continuing the snack business with her students this semester. And another story from December, Southwest High School freshman Gregory Burrows was gifted an adapted bike in December, giving him the ability to ride a bike for the first time. The gift was a generous donation from a national organization focused on providing special needs children access to freedom, fun, and exercise. The parts were sent to a bike shop in Omaha, where it was assembled before it was transported to Southwest, where the surprise presentation was held. This story and photos of the event were submitted by student journalists at Southwest.
It's really a touching story, so yeah, take a look at that one. Great pictures. Very nice to provide this bike to the student. Schools and activities are back in swing for the third semester, but there's a lot of our team spending some time on the road this week, so the calendar is a little bit shorter, but here's some things going on this week here in Lincoln. Saturday the 11th, we have the Midwest Cup Show Choir Concert that's going on over at UNL. At 7 p.m. Saturday night, Southwest Varsity Concert Choir is doing a joint concert with the Nebraska Wesleyan Choirs, and that's at First Plymouth. Sunday the 12th, Lincoln Youth Symphony fundraiser is called LYS Goes to the Movies, and that's at the Rococo Theater at 3 p.m. You can learn more about that at LincolnYouthSymphony.org. Then Tuesday the 14th, we have a learning lunch here at the district office. It's going to be an informational session about the bond issue featuring our superintendent of schools, Steve Joel. That's going to be right here in the boardroom at the district office near Cotner and O. If you can't be here, it's also going to be live streamed on Facebook and on our website at www.lps.org. Thursday the 16th, there's a boys wrestling contest. It's East at Southeast. That's at 7 p.m. And then wrapping up the week, Friday the 17th, 4:30 p.m., we have swimming and diving, and that's at Lincoln High School.
And now it's time for that interview with Marco Pedroza. Marco is in his second year as principal at Scott Middle School in Southwest Lincoln. He talks about his childhood in Western Nebraska, the lessons he learned from his parents, how he unexpectedly made education his career, and what some people get wrong about today's kids. All right. I'm here with Marco Pedroza, the principal of Scott Middle School. Marco, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your very busy schedule.
You bet, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I know a little bit about your backstory, and I know enough that I know you didn't take the traditional route probably to be a principal, as far as what we know of that route from other principals in the district. Tell me a little bit first, I guess, as far as your childhood and where you grew up.
Yeah, so I am from Scottsbluff, Nebraska. My parents are actually born and raised in León, Guanajuato, Mexico. But I was born in Scotts Bluff. I am the youngest, so I am the baby of three. The middle child, my brother Carlos, and then my older sister Liza. Liza now lives in Colorado, and Carlos is back in Scotts Bluff still. Okay. My parents are back there as well. Grew up in a three-bedroom, one-bathroom farmhouse, little 7 acres. I'm out there in Scotts Bluff. And then I came to, you know, at that time when you're 18 years old, you want to get as far away from your parents as you can. So I came to the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, actually as a architecture major.
Huh.
And then after about a year of architecture, decided I wanted to try something different and use my language a little bit. So I went into business, working with specializing in international business per se, and actually got my bachelor's degree in business. And then once I got my bachelor's degree, I was working in the private sector, actually working for the University of Nebraska Medical Center, doing quality assurance health surveys. And one of the employees there came up and said, "Hey, there is this position open at Lincoln Public Schools, and it's a bilingual liaison position. And I think you would be great because I just see how you could be able to work with my kids." And so I said, "Okay." So I went and applied for it, not expecting much. I mean, at that point, I was paying my rent and doing fine. And went and applied for the position and got offered this position. And so I took it, and I was actually housed out at Arnold Elementary was where I was. And I loved it.
So for someone who doesn't know a little, as much about what our bilingual liaisons do, talk a little bit about that.
So I am Hispanic or Latino, so I do speak Spanish as well. And so I guess the short version would be, you know, we interpret and translate. But there's so much more to that position. You help families through a lot, whether it's registering at a school or working through what a typical day looks like for somebody who's in education, you know, for a student that goes through the education system in the United States. So I did everything from, like I said, translating, interpreting, home visits, really working with the community, the Hispanic or Latino community, and really being a voice and an advocate for many families. And actually that holds true now as a principal. I still, there's still families that reach out to me here at Scott, and I love it. Like I said, it was a great 2 years that I spent doing that position and serving as a bilingual liaison for the district.
Okay, and then, so from there, what where did you go after that?
So I was at Meadow Lane Elementary, and we were doing conferences, and as part of a bilingual liaison, you translate for certain families who need it at conferences. And I always give credit to Mr. Tim Muggy, because he kind of planted that seed of, he said, "You know, Marco, you need to go into the classroom." And I had no clue what he was talking about. And somebody that I don't talk as much about who deserves credit, Nancy Weller, was another person who, she's a classroom teacher and a team lead for ELL at the time, English Language Learners. And she always said, "Oh, we're going to lose you. You're just too good. We're going to lose you." And I had no clue what she was talking about. But one day, Mr. Muggy came in and said, "Marco, you need to look at this DONE program to get in the classroom." That DONE program was a Master's of Curriculum and Instruction and was a fast track. And so with that, after the program, you attain a master's in curriculum instruction, and you're able to be a teacher in that that content.
Okay.
Well, my content was business because my bachelor's was in business. Now, I did do a dual and became certified for English language learners as well. But I actually got my first job teaching summer school at North Star for business. And then my first teaching job was I got the opportunity to reopen Dawes Middle School.
Great.
So my first year of officially teaching, so not thinking about the summer school, but the actual teaching job, I also was a community learning center coordinator. In the same year. So that was fun because I got to teach in the classroom and then develop this program for after school at Dawes. And so it was very eye-opening, and it was great. It was a great experience. I was there for a couple of years, and right away after finishing the first master's, I felt I could just tell education was where I mm-hmm. needed to be. And I jumped right back into another master's degree for educational leadership.
Okay.
Within that time, I had started coaching. I was coaching girls soccer at Northeast High School, and then coaching boys basketball at Southwest High School. That third year, I transitioned over to Southwest and got to teach the new Take Charge curriculum that was coming out that year. I was coaching boys ninth grade basketball and boys ninth grade soccer as well.
Okay.
And so I was at Southwest for a year, and by that point, I was finishing up my leadership program and got to go to the next year, SCO Middle School. To serve as the instructional coordinator there under Bill Schulenberg.
Yeah.
Bill Schulenberg was amazing. He's retired now, but that was one heck of an educator, I'll tell you what. Yeah. I learned a ton from Bill in that one year that I was there. He coined the phrase one and done on me because I was only there a year with him. But from there, Mike Gelati was becoming the principal at Southwest High School, and Sarah Salem was moving on to position at district. So there was an associate principal position to go back to Southwest. And I loved Southwest. And so I thought, you know what? I'll just put it in, if anything, for some experience of interviewing. Mike hired me and gave me the opportunity to serve as an associate principal. And so at Southwest, I served as an associate principal for 3 years there, really focusing on school improvement and budgeting. I also, while I was there, began my educational specialist degree, just because I just love to learn. And so this is now my second year here at Scott Middle School as a principal. Finished my EDS program and doing my doctorate now. And yeah, I love it here. I get to work with a lot of the same family members that I got to work at Southwest.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so it's been great. It's been great. And the staff here is great. And It's been an interesting path, an interesting journey, something that if you would have told me growing up that I was going to be a principal, I would have told you were crazy. But
did you get in trouble as a kid at all? Were you in the
principal's
office?
Oh, I think we all have, times where we don't make the best decisions. But no, I think those experiences throughout life are maybe what drive us to, become who we are. And the passion that I have for education, I think maybe stems from those experiences, but also from my parents and the opportunities they didn't necessarily have back in Mexico. And so,
So what are some of the things you've learned here in your 2 years or your year and a half now at Scott?
Oh, well, yeah, year and a half, that makes me a veteran, right? I think there's a ton to learn every day. Every day is a new day. Something different occurs, right? When you got a school of, close to 1,200 students, 11 to 13-year-olds, there's going to be something. But honestly, I've learned the importance of relationships, right? We work in a people business. And so relationships with students, relationships with parents and community members, relationships with the staff, and the importance of being there and supporting everybody, I think is important. I think that when I look at my time here so far at Scott, I think that it's been short, but I feel like we've made some minor changes that are leading us in the right direction. And like I said, it's a great community to begin with, so I've been having a blast.
You mentioned your parents a little bit earlier. Growing up and looking back now, what are some of the things, the influence they had on you as far as how you ended up where you are now, you think?
That's always an interesting point. My parents have always had a huge impact in my learning.
They still live back
in my life. They live back in Scotts Bluff. Okay. Yeah. Again, I think just based on the fact that they maybe didn't have the same opportunities. My mom is a high school graduate. My dad is not. He's probably, I think, maybe second or third grade when he was done with school and had to help the family out financially. He came over to the United States working in agriculture and started as, an ag hand out on the farm. And so worked his way up until he was able to have his own, mm-hmm. sets of cattle and pigs and chickens and all that fun stuff. The biggest thing my dad has ever taught me is the value of hard work and respect. And he'll tell you that to this day. You know, he might not have had those opportunities, but he got us to where we are because of the hard work and respect. And so those are some of the values that I try and instill with my students all the time. And the funny thing is my dad will tell you, you know, he might not even understand what I do as a principal, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes right. he'll ask me, you know, are you still teaching? I'm like, no, Dad, I'm a principal. Like, it's a little different. I'm still teaching, but in a different way. But he understands how important it is for mm-hmm. education. My mom, on the other hand, you know, it will verbalize it to me and the importance of, she's always checking, how are you doing in your studies? How are you doing mm-hmm. at school? Mm-hmm. And she, you know, it's interesting with her. When I got this position at Scott, I asked her to send me a picture of myself in middle school. And she sent me a picture of me playing soccer. And at the time, I didn't think much of it, and I haven't confirmed this with her, but I was curious why she decided to choose that picture. And Jason, I think the reason that she chose it was because that's what truly connected us to the school system. Hmm. That's what got my dad involved. He knew the game mm-hmm. of soccer, right? He right. played it black back in Mexico. Mm-hmm. He understood that. And so they understood the importance that that connection was for our family. Mm-hmm. And I deep down, I want to say that's why she chose that picture. She could tell you that maybe she chose it because it was the first one she found. But I don't know. But the reason I'm going with that is because my parents have always understood the importance of education and what it means to me and my siblings. And so that resonates with me. It really does, because they both have always been huge supporters of me, and there's no question that I would not be where I am because of them. And they've always given me what I've needed. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate them more than anybody will ever know.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned you're around, you know, 1,200 middle school kids a day.
Yeah.
What do you think like common misconceptions are about kids these days? You know, that old phrase, you know, kids these days, they don't do this.
Get
they
off
don't
my
do
lawn.
That. Yeah, yeah. If you had to tell somebody who's not around middle school kids every day.
I think Jason, the biggest change I think that we're going through is technology. And I think things are just out there a lot more than before. And so, and you know, there used to be a time where if somebody, you know, if there was an issue at the school with another student or something, when you went mm-hmm. home, it died down. Mm-hmm. And right. then you came back and things were fine.
Right. Cool. And now you were able to cool off.
Right, right. Yeah. Now you're able to add fuel yeah. to the flames because you've got social media platforms, you mm-hmm. got connection, and it never really allows it to die down. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's kind of attributed to some of the conceptions or misconceptions mm-hmm. that we have now. I'll be honest. There's a lot of good in these kids, man.
Oh, yeah.
I see it every day, the positivity that they bring. Mm-hmm. Just the other day, our girls celebrated a city championship, mm-hmm. and there was a handful of staff members on hand to watch that. And to see mm-hmm. the girls respond to the staff members there, I think, tells mm-hmm. a lot. And at the same time, simultaneously across town, Builders Club was out helping at the centers people for center of people in need, handing out toys. And so I think sometimes we see, I don't know, negativity about these generations that mm-hmm. there's a misconception that nothing's good's going to come anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that. I think it's just out there more, but there's a lot of good in what these kids are doing. There's a lot mm-hmm. of good that they do every single day. Mm-hmm. And we continue to preach that here at Scott, you know, that character counts. Mm-hmm. The decisions that you start to make now will impact your future. And so we're really creating those building blocks, right, for future success of students. And I truly think that there's more good than bad. And so I think sometimes we see those misconceptions of, oh, kids these days are awful and they don't mm-hmm. listen. And, yeah. and you know, and look, that you're always going to have issues. Mm-hmm. There always has been issues, but I don't think it should mask the good that's coming from our schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up with some rapid fire questions.
Oh,
here,
man, okay?
All right. First of all, what do you miss most about your hometown?
The amount of geese, ducks, and deer that I've been able to go out and hunt. hunting. I mean, I've got some spots out here, but Scott's Bluff hunting compared to East Coast hunting is a lot different.
All right.
I'm surprised I didn't say the Mexican food.
Well, that's what that's I thought you were going to say.
That's the other one, but you put those two together and I'm set.
All right. Favorite movie?
Tombstone.
Ah, that was easy. Describe yourself as a child in three words.
Oh, man. I'd say energetic. Okay. Respectful. As a child. I'd really like to say hardworking, but my siblings would say that it's not true, Marco. Free-spirited, you know? I like to go out and have fun and enjoy some different things, yeah.
All right. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Well, my biggest pet peeve? Not following through one way or the other. When someone doesn't follow through, I think drives me nuts.
Yeah, okay. Invisibility or super strength, which would you choose?
Oh, man, this is a hard one. What would my kids say? this would be a dinner room question.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with superpower. Okay. Flying, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, hey. Super strength?
Yeah, it was super strength
I thought I got to choose my superpower. In that case, if it's super strength or invisibility, I'm going to go with invisibility.
All right. Okay. But flying, if you could.
Flying, if I could.
Okay. All right. Favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Oh,
I get to watch football, eat, and not worry about anything else.
Thanksgiving's perfect. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Man. I tell you what, you can't be a twist from a Husker game. That ice cream is number one.
Yeah,
but
if
you really are pushing it, I'd probably have to say strawberry.
All right, good choice. What country would you most like to visit that you haven't been to?
That I haven't been to?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a tough one. I've been to Mexico. Spain was awesome. Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to visit Costa Rica.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sounds good. And last question, what does a person need to be happy?
Wow. You know, happiness, success can all be defined in a plethora of different ways. I think you just have to be grounded in who you are. Be okay with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We can't all be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness comes from being able to enjoy yourself and those around you. And so I love my family. I love being with my family. And so for me, happiness is being with them. Yeah, you have to be okay with loving yourself.
Great. Well, that seems like a good place to end. Marco, thanks for taking some time
thanks
out.
Thanks for talking with me.
You got 1,200 students to get back to.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
I always love talking to Marco. It was great hearing about his journey to Lincoln Public Schools.
If there's anything that you've heard today that you'd like to learn more about, there's links to everything along with links to the full calendars up on our podcast page at lps.org/podcast. Also, if you'd like to subscribe and get notified each Friday when we push up a new episode, you can find us on your favorite podcast service, and links to all of those are also up at lps.org/podcast. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us here at Stories from Lincoln Public Schools. We'll see you next week.